Take God's word, please, and turn to the book of James. The book of James. James chapter number 1, beginning in verse 1 again. James 1, 1 to 4. James 1, 1 to 4. Let's read all four verses together, okay? Beginning with verse 1. Ready? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. With the help of the Lord this morning, I'd like to speak to you on this theme of let patience work. Let patience work. I'll pray, and then we'll have a special, and then we'll open God's word. Again, Heavenly Father, thank you for these verses. I pray once again that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher and preacher today. Empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit, hide me behind the cross. Help us that are listening, Lord, today. Help us all to be listening. I want to be listening during this preaching, teaching time, the special music. Help us to be listening to what you have for us through your word, by your Spirit. Lord, do a work that only you could get credit for it and glory for it. Please, Lord, we know this is a special time opening up the Word of God. It's a holy time. And God, please work mightily is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 1 in your Bible, let patience work. We find our text this morning in verse number 4 where God's Word reads, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This word patience means to abide under pressure. To abide under pressure. I remember as a child growing up, I think I've told you this before, that we had a big garden and we would grow a lot of things in that garden and hopefully no weeds. That was my job to get out there and pull all those weeds and take care of things. But then there came canning season. How many of you know what it's like to can vegetables? Has anybody ever done that? All right, a few of you. And it doesn't happen as much anymore, but we used to can our vegetables and my mom had this giant canner thingamajiggy. I don't know, I even remember what the name of that thing is. And she'd put that on the stove and have hot water in it. It'd have this little nozzle dizzle thing at the top, you know. And that thing would start whistling. And then after a certain amount of time, it was done. And what was happening is those mason jars, good old mason jars, amen. They would be in there. The beans or whatever would be in there. A lot of green beans got canned in our home over the years. And I still like green beans in spite of that. But that thing would go and it would be, it's called a pressure cooker. That's what it's called. It came to me by a freight there. It took a while. But anyway, and then you'd get those green beans out and that seal would be on there from the lid. And you pop those things in the middle of the wintertime in Michigan. It would be sub-zero temperatures. You'd pop those green beans from, we got a bit of a cellar in the basement. We'd get the green bean out. We'd bring it up. And my mom would cook whatever, but we'd have some green beans, and they tasted like they just came out of the garden. They didn't taste like they came out of the can from Walmart, hallelujah. Thank God for the canned ones at Walmart, I guess. I don't know, sodium pretty high, right? Anyway, let's not get into that today. But anyway, boy, they were amazing. Now, that was only possible because they were under pressure. Had they been not under pressure, we just canned them, put them down in the cellar, our basement, our Michigan basement. That's a story in and of itself. But put it down in there, and we went down and got it. I have no idea what they would have tasted like without the pressure cooker. Probably would not have been edible. Maybe they would have had stuff growing on them. Then we would have had, you know, some penicillin. So I guess it would have been medicinal purposes. But anyway, probably not. There would have been no value because there was no pressure. I think a subtitle to this sermon could be no pressure, no value. In the Christian life, it's going to happen, knowing this. And then when, right? There's a lot of these words that I love the book of James. And again, pray for me. God willing, we're going to go through the book of James, work our way through it. We might have to pause it for a little while, but we'll finish it eventually. But knowing this, and so patience is to abide under pressure. We know that the author of the book of James, as we talked about last week, was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ and penned these words under inspiration of the word, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And so there's great value in them for us today. And The words that really grabbed a hold of me this week and as I worked through this was the words let have in verse number 4, let have. Let have. I know these types of things aren't life-changing necessarily when preachers talk about the tense of the verb, but there is something to it many times, and so it is a present active imperative. Now, there'll be a quiz on this afterwards, okay? So mark that down. Bonus points. That'll be the bonus question, question 11. What does this mean? It means that it's not just, oh, I let it happen. It means more than allowing something to happen. Here's what it means. See, that is passive. When you allow something to happen, it's passive. I just allowed it. Are you with me on that? You understand that in the English language, okay? It just let it happen. It just allowed it to happen. This is not passive. The tense of this, James' writing, is a command. The command is let. Let patience have her perfect work. What is he saying? What is the point here? The point here is this. God has a specific purpose or purposes for the difficulty or the challenge that is in your life. And so the attitude should not be, well, whatever. That's not a good attitude. The attitude is, okay, God, I'm thankful, and I'm going to let patience work. I'm going to let this fulfill whatever it is you have for me. His purpose and plan will only be fulfilled when I let them. When I yield to the Holy Spirit of God, when I yield to God's working in my life. In other words, here's what God is saying. I want you, church, I want you individuals to faithfully participate in the challenges that are going to come your way. I want you to faithfully participate in the difficulties that I'm going to bring into your life. Notice that word perfect, all right? This word perfect here speaks of a goal or purpose. So now let's ask a couple questions here. What is the goal of going through challenging times? What is the goal? What is the goal of a testing time? All right, we're going to come back to James, but let's look at three verses. I hope you'll jot these down. Would you go with me to Romans chapter number 8? Let patience work. Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. God's word is powerful, changes lives. So let's let God's word change our lives today, all right? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Don't get caught up on that word, okay? It has nothing to do with salvation. Amen. Anyway, we better just stay with James, all right? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is the purpose of letting this go in my life, Pastor? To be more like Christ. To be conformed to the image of his son. Galatians 4, just turn over a few pages, headed back toward James. What is the purpose? I spoke to someone this morning before the service. And if you know who this is, please don't mention their name. I'm not trying to be unkind, but this individual has had 2 automobile accidents in the last month. A young person. Thankfully, they're doing okay physically. Okay? And I had prayer with this individual because I was greatly burdened. It really goes right along with what's happening in this text right here because I have no idea why that occurred in this individual's life. But my prayer for him is to let patience work. Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, again, until Christ be formed in you. This is God's goal for your life. This is God's goal for my life, that Christ be formed in me, that I be more in the image of his son, that when people see me, they see Christ. When they see me, they don't see me, they see the Lord. When they hear me, they don't hear me, they hear the Lord. And this is possible. We're not becoming Christ, but we're becoming more like Christ. One more, 1 Peter 2. So beyond James, all right? 1 Peter 2. Verse 21, these are great verses to meditate on in times of challenge and in times of intensity and in your life and the things of the that are just coming at us. But praise the Lord, I'm going to let patience work. What is patience? To abide under pressure. I'm going to let the pressure work. I'm not going to fight against it. I'm going to say, okay, this pressure is good. Because God is good. This whatever is good. Fill in the blank. Your blank's different than mine. Maybe you have multiple. Maybe we all have them. But we're going to let it work. 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Boy, if you don't have this verse marked and you're okay with marking your Bible, I would at least mark some words in this verse. Christ also suffered for us is so powerful. When we're going through challenging times, which is probably every day, and that's not doom and gloom thinking, by the way, folks. It's reality. Okay, most of you know me well. I'm a half full kind of glass kind of guy. Okay? But I know that challenging times are real, and you walk in sometimes we walk in with a painted on smile. We painted it on just when we got out of the car. Because even on the way here, we weren't smiling very much. And we have to say, Lord, I got to paint that smile on again. Because we have challenges, we have difficulty, because we're a sinful man, a sinful woman. But God wants you to let something happen today. Meaning God doesn't want you to push against it. God wants you to let it happen because God has something great and mighty in store for us. And he loves us. And if he allowed his son to suffer for us, what does it say? Leaving us an example. So when challenging times come, we have an example. Look at the cross. There's no one in here today that can point a fist or a finger at God and say, you don't know anything about this trial. No, we just look at the cross. God in his great holiness and his majesty, an almighty God, had to, at that moment when our sins went on his son, he had to stop looking at his son. And it went dark at 3:00 in the afternoon. And your sin and mine was covered by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, notice, that ye should follow in his steps. You might even look at the beginning of verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So the difference is, you and I cannot say that, who did no sin, neither was guile found in our mouth. But it says that about Christ. And yet God is saying, the reason why I want you to let patience work is because you are following in the example of my son. You are becoming conformed into the image of my son. Let's go back to James 1. We find here within this one verse several things that are mentioned. When we let patience work, our Bibles are going to be used. They're used every week, but maybe a little bit more than normal. But let's go to as many of these passages as we can. More importantly, let's listen as they're read. If you can't get there, that's okay. Maybe jot them down. So look what it says, James 1:4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Number one, when we let patience work, number one, we are perfected in Christ. That's what it says. It says that ye may be perfect. We are perfected in Christ. Let's look at a few other verses that help us understand this a little bit greater way, maybe, or add to it. Go to the book of Psalm in verse 37. We are perfected in Christ. Remember those green beans, all right? Let's all just say, God, if I'm just going to be a green bean for you, keep the pressure going, because I want to be what you have designed and created me to be for your honor and glory. I want to be perfected in your Son. 37, Psalms 37, 37. That word perfected, it has the idea of maturity. Notice what the psalmist says, Psalm 37, 37. Mark the perfect man. If you want to just maybe underline that or consider that word perfect, we could also tie it back to James 1, 4. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is what? Peace. How many of you like that idea? I do. Peace. But look what comes before peace. Perfect and upright. What does upright mean? It means obeying. Obeying. It means doing what is right. See, a lot of us, we want the product, but it's the prior to getting to the product, the process, the adventure, you know, the admonition, we might even say the command. That part is where we kind of really struggle, don't we? I'm saying you and me. I'm saying we, okay? You heard me say we, right? We love peace. Oh, peace. Now, that's what I'd love to have every day, you know? It is well with my soul. Amen. If I could have that song every day playing and it was, you know, it's true, but I want it to really be true, right? I believe we're striving for that. But look what he says. He says, the mature or the perfect man and the upright man, the end of that man is peace. So think about it. When God is wanting to you, for us, to let patience work, what does he see in the end for us? Peace. He doesn't see down at the end of the road of things coming into my life, that about pressure coming into my life. He doesn't see worry. If we follow his plan. Now, I'm going to raise both hands. I'm holding my hand, but I would. I worry sometimes. But that's not God's plan for you and me. He wants us to see down at the end of the road. He sees down at the end of the road. So let's use God's glasses today. And let's say, God, my vision has kind of been off a little bit lately. Let's be willing to tell God that my vision has been off. And my vision has seen just everything, you know, glass half empty and trial and trouble and all of this. It doesn't mean it goes away. But folks, when we have the Prince of Peace that is going with us, let patience work, and we are perfected in Christ. And God says, look, I know what the end, if you will follow the recipe. Get off the recipe. God says, it's on you. Now, he doesn't say that, but so I'm not necessarily trying to speak for God, okay? But we all know it's on us, because whatsoever we sow, we reap. So really, that is a true statement. But God says, I have a recipe. I want you to be perfected in me. And when you're perfected in my Son, you're going to have peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, let the Lord just speak to you right now. God will speak to you right now. You don't have to have the pastor speaking to you. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. If you're lost, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and say, get saved. But the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to us through the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that doesn't return void. So just let this sink in. Let patience work. God is not limited by your challenge. God allowed it. And my patience, right? That abiding under pressure. His purpose is, number one, that we are perfected in Christ. This is a verse that you've read and heard many times, 2 Corinthians 12, 9. But it's one you want to mark if you haven't marked it. And he said unto me, who's me in that verse? Who's me? Who knows? Just shout it out. Paul, yeah. Paul's writing. He said unto me, look what God said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. That's what I've underlined in this verse so far. My grace is sufficient for thee. So God's grace is sufficient. Why? For my strength. Whose strength? God's strength. Is made perfect. There's that word again. perfect in what? Parties and great times and celebrations? No. Weakness. Now that doesn't sound exciting, does it? But this is the formula. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. This is Paul saying, I'm letting this do what God wants it to do. You tie this right back to James 1:4. This is Paul. Now, Paul's a sinner, saved by grace, just like you and me. Paul doesn't have anything on you and me with God. We might look at him higher because he wrote the Bible, okay. But he has the same God that you have and I have if we're saved. He's saying right here, I'm going to let patience work because I'm going to glory in the infirmities. Why? Because the end result of letting patience work in Paul's life was that the power of Christ would rest upon him. And again, this is not just for Paul. This is for you to claim and for me to claim today. Because again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And if you hear me say that every Sunday until Jesus comes or until I die, that's fine because I hope that you'll have that in your head until you die, that all scripture is profitable for me. And when you're saying it, it's for you. So this isn't just Paul saying God's grace was sufficient just for Paul. It's sufficient for you. It's sufficient for me. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. Let patience work because when we do, we are perfected in Christ. We have peace. David had peace. We can have it too. Paul had peace. Paul had power too. Maybe that's the second P. Peace and power. Didn't even have that written down, but I think we got an alliterated sub-outline there coming on. Thank you, Lord. That's okay. You don't have to do that if you preach, but anyway. See, it helps you remember, doesn't it? Helps me remember because I'm not very good at memorizing it right now. 1 Peter 5. Let's keep going. Perfected in Christ. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, I wrote down in my Bible, somebody must have been preaching about it, infinite resources, infinite resource, the God of all grace, never runs out, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have what? Suffered a while. When we suffer a while, here's what happens. We are perfected. It's right there. Make you perfect. Mature. Establish. Strengthen. That word there has to do with standing against temptation for the gospel's sake. Strengthen. And so when I let patience have her perfect work, I am mature and I'm becoming stronger for the cause of Christ, not for the cause of this church even, or for my cause, but for the cause of Christ. And so God is getting more glory from your life when you are letting patience work. When I'm letting patience work, I'm being perfected in Christ. The second thing James says, not only am I being perfected, but I am entire. The word entire there. Okay? Back to James 1:4. It says that you may be perfect and entire. That word entire means complete. So secondly, we are completed in Christ. We are completed in Christ. I give you this verse just to jot down. Colossians 2:10. You can turn there if you'd like. I have it written out, but go ahead if you want to turn over there and see it or just jot it down, but up to you. Colossians 2:10. Complete in Christ. And ye are complete in him. In Christ, Paul says. Which is the head of all principality and power. So, I let patience have her perfect work. And that completes me. For what God has allowed into my life. For his glory. It completes me. It's like when you get to the end of a 1,000 piece puzzle. And you're missing one piece. What are you doing? You're looking everywhere. Because it's not complete. It's finished, yes, but I like the word complete. And every piece in your life is important. And every piece in my life is important. And God is putting our lives together. As we let patience have her perfect work, he's taking this piece over here and he's putting it into your life right where he wants it. You know how it is doing a puzzle when you get a piece that you think is the one that fits and you even just do it for like 10 seconds. I mean, I was going to say a minute, but that wouldn't happen. But, you know, even 10 seconds feels like an eternity and you're jamming it in there. That's not going to work. The puzzle will not be complete if we try to jam the wrong piece in. We need to let God put the pieces into our life when he wants to, not when I want to. You know, I have some pieces in my life that I've been praying for a long time, and those pieces have not come. But I need to let God complete my puzzle. I need to let God complete my life. I'm not saying my life is over. I'm not saying that. But complete in him. We are not only perfected in him, we are complete in him. But notice the third thing that he says. Wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. So, number three, when we let God, when we let patience work, we lack nothing. We lack nothing. It even goes, as we think of it, and when we read it on the surface, wanting nothing. Yes, I'm not changing what it's saying there, but if you dig a little deeper into that, it really has the idea of we don't even want anything. Do you know we live in a world that it is filled with a lot of people, and many times it can be me or you at times. Okay, let's not, you know, make it like we're the exception to the rule. But we live in a world that is overruled and run by a wanter, right? I want that. I want this. I want that. I want this. Obviously, go to the nursery. I want this. I want that. That's what kids do, all right? But you know what? Adults do too. And you know, here's a problem. When our wanter is not right with God, it takes us away from letting patience work properly in my life. You know, the wrong want many times will take people out of church. Maybe it's the job and the money is just, you know, it's too big of a pull. Now, I'm not going to sit here this morning and say that we don't need money, okay? That's foolish. But here God says we will lack nothing. We will want nothing, pardon me. And we'll lack nothing if we let patience have her perfect work. It's not only that. Sometimes it's wanting the wrong friends. You know, I remember hearing this many, many years ago when I was even in a youth group that people would say, preachers would say, teachers would say, if you show me your friends, then I'll show you how you're going to turn out. You know, there's a lot more truth to that than meets the eye. And I can say now, after pastoring for almost 25 years in the same church, in the same area, I can vouch for that. That unfortunately, many times the wrong friends, wanting the wrong friends, or just wanting friendship and going about it the wrong way. Sometimes it's someone who really wants to get married just really bad. Instead of following God's plan for getting married, they follow the wrong plan. It happens. I'm just saying, these are examples. And God has a plan for your life and a plan for my life. God says, I don't want you to lack anything, and I'll take care of everything. But we have to let patience have her perfect work. And we will lack nothing. James has a goal of full maturity for those he's writing to. So as we sit here this morning, and we've read these first four verses now, the last 2 weeks, James is writing to you. Can you picture James writing a letter to you? Can you picture James writing a letter to us? Because that's exactly what's happening. James could not see you, but God could see you. James could not see Anchor Baptist Church, but God could see Anchor Baptist Church when this was being penned thousands of years ago. That we would be willing to let the pressure of whatever it is that God is bringing into my life. And we have this promise. 1932, almost 100 years ago now, a man by the name of A.M. Overton was a pastor. He was a pastor of the First Baptist Church in the deep south of Baldwin, Mississippi. I've never been to Mississippi that I know of, but maybe one day I'll go there. Maybe I drove through a little bit of it. I can't remember, but it's way down south. If you know the United States at all, it's way down south along the Gulf of America. Sorry. I've been wanting to say that for so long. Anyway, move on. Let's keep moving on. Okay. With his wife and three children, they were serving there. Mr. Overton, or Pastor Overton, I should say, his wife was expecting their fourth child. And in 1932 was a little different than in 2025. I mean, the other day we were with the Carreno family like 2 hours after the baby was born. We were in the delivery room even. I mean, it's different now, right? I mean, even when I was born and my siblings were born, I don't think my dad was anywhere near the delivery room. So in 1932, that was definitely the case. So it's just mama back in the back in the delivery room and delivering children. And you can imagine the pastor and his three kids, they're out in the lobby and they're there. And they've been now for 9 months, they've been praying for this baby that's coming. And they've been greatly anticipating it as we just did. And the you know, there's no like cell phones, so the nurses can't even step aside and text or anything like that. And so, you know, you're kind of wondering and you're thinking, you're wondering. And of course, you're expecting the doctor to come out at any moment. And you're expecting the doctor to have great news. You're expecting the doctor to say, you know, they wouldn't have even known at that time what they were having, boy or girl. But you're expecting the doctor to come out and give you those great results. But on this day, unfortunately, that's not how it worked out for Pastor Overton. The doctor came out after a period of time, and he had a very grim look on his face. And he said to Pastor Overton, he said, "I'm really sorry to inform you that your baby has died in delivery." And he said, "Unfortunately, your wife also has died. We could not save her. There were complications. And your wife and your child have both died." Wow. That's pressure. That's something you don't anticipate. Days would go by and there would be a funeral, and Pastor Overton could not do the funeral. He was too distraught. He sat on the front row, and there was a man who was giving the funeral that day. Another pastor came, and he was on the front row, Pastor Overton was, and while the man was preaching, he took out a piece of paper, a pen. He was writing. Maybe he wasn't paying attention right at that moment because God was speaking to him about something. And he wrote these words: "My father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust. I'll leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, though all the way the dark to me, he made not one mistake." That's a brother in Christ who let patience work. This is a beautiful hymn that I don't believe it's in our hymn book, but it's a beautiful hymn almost 100 years ago that lives on today. Because someone let patience have her perfect work. I know that there are things in your life that may seem too hard to carry
By the way, you don't have to carry anything. Cast your care on God, for He careth for you, 1 Peter 5, 7. But today I want to encourage us all to not just allow it, but to even ask God, God, I want to be obedient through this pressure so that I can be made more like Christ, so that I can be complete in Christ, and so that I can have no desire for anything else, because you make no mistake. Let's pray together.